This is the Pat Williams Weekend Hour on FM 96.5 News Talk WDBO. Now here's your host, Pat Williams.
Alan Hobson, our guest in that first half hour, talking about his climb of Mount Everest, also his battle with cancer. Mark Donald joins us. His book is out this week, Battle Ready, Memoir of a SEAL Warrior Medic. Mark, it's so kind of you to join me. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, and thank you all for having me. It means a lot to be on the show.
Tell me, what makes Battle Ready new for readers and audiences?
Well, it's not really a typical special operations book in the regard that it talks about missions as much as it's about something that I needed to say and tell people. I had a lot of difficulties with combat stress, and part of that was my dealing with how much everything that occurred in my life was the benefit and help of others, all of the team. So what I tried to do here was tell people exactly what everybody did and let them all know three things. A, I'm not the all-American kid. B, I never accomplished anything on my own. And as people read that, they're going to find that out to be true. And three, that don't do what I did when you start dealing with combat stress. Don't ignore it. Don't isolate yourself away. Don't pretend it's not there. I was here treating patients, and they had the courage to come forward and talk to me, my teammates. Yet I was a coward, and I hid behind mine and tried to act like it wasn't there. It almost destroyed my life, almost took my life, almost destroyed my family. And that's what I wanted to say.
What prompted you to become a Navy SEAL, Mark?
You know, that's kind of interesting. I actually started in the Marine Corps and Special Operations, had a calling for what I feel from above to go into medicine. And then when I was at Navy boot camp, I kind of got coaxed into trying SEAL training under the guise that no Marine recon guy could make it through. But I think it was just really where I needed to go. It was my natural place to be.
Tell me about the training to become a Navy SEAL. Is it as rough and difficult as us civilians seem to hear about?
Absolutely, it is. It is definitely some of the hardest things I've ever faced in my life. I say some of the hardest because actually operating and being a SEAL makes training look like it's easy, and training was incredibly intense. You know, I just got back from visiting some students that wrestlers where I grew up, and trying to let them know what happened. And you know, one of the things that they just didn't understand is how I left and, you know, started training, you know, this year-long process that it takes, and at one weight at around 155, and by the time I'm done, I'm the same waist and height, but I'm up to 185 pounds and just in incredible shape that I never thought I would ever be in. And that's just all due to the intensity of the training. But I can tell you, most of all, it just takes mental fortitude to get through it.
Talk to me about the term SEAL teams. Obviously, it's a unique team. Can you describe that teamwork?
Well, yeah, absolutely. It's in the book, I kind of describe how people become SEALs, and I kind of liken it back to, you know, all Buds does is validate SEALs, because it's really a mental attitude of it's inside of each of us, a heart, a desire. So when you get all these guys together, it's a natural fit. It's very much a brotherhood. It's a family like you would have no other. It's very, very tight. And in that, you know, you hear all the time, people will say, well, there's no I in team. You know, I used to say this all the time. You know, when I look back on it, I go, well, there is an I in team. If the I is that one individual that's hurt or wounded or needs help, at that point, everybody in the team focuses all their efforts to help that one person. And that really captures the nuances of what it is. There is no one person until that person's in need. And then after that, everybody takes care of them, whether it's their car's broken down or they're shot on the battlefield. It's an incredibly tight group.
Mark, do you think the SEALs coming along now are as good as they've ever been?
I think they're better. They're bigger, stronger, faster. We, you know, the basic part of SEAL training, the first initial 6 months and 2 weeks we call BUDS, that is not going to change. I mean, that's clearly designed just to, you know, find out who has that quality and validate those people. But the advanced training constantly evolves, and that's another 6 months and more. And that evolves to produce a bigger, stronger, faster, smarter, more agile SEAL. And we've seen that through the years. And I think they're better than they've ever been. And I think, you know, next year they're going to be even better than that. So if you're out there and you're thinking of doing harm to the U.S. citizens or to our allies, you need to think twice because we will find you.
What does that stand for, BUDS, B-U-D, and then there's a slash and then S. What does that mean?
It means Basic Underwater Demolition School. And the reason why they ended up doing that is because at a time there was, you know, underwater demolition teams, and they really needed to differentiate between being in a, you know, a basic type team or actually being in school. The thing about the Navy that I love is that we're very tradition orientated. So if it's called one thing one day, it's going to be called that for the rest of the time, for the most part. And that means a lot because the tradition that the Department of the Navy has gave me a lot of strength when I was out there.
Where has this whole journey led you today, Mark?
Well, you know, as people will read it, they'll find out exactly how low I came. And what I found was what my mother taught me early in life, that happiness and health and healing come from the service of others. So what I did, even though my career was booming, I just got a promotion. I ended up leaving the service to go ahead and start working on veteran and wounded issues. I think that was my next calling. Right now, that's what I concentrate primarily on, and I'm trying to help, you know, the UDT SEAL Association. We've just become a veteran service organization, you know, and what we're trying to do is really help our SEALs out there from the past and get them taken care of, because a lot of those guys, as we get older, are really, really having hard times.
Where did the SEALs start, and what does SEALS stand for?
Well, the SEALs, you know, they started all the way back, I guess, when, you know, in World War II, with the men that were out there clearing the beachheads, you know, for explosives. You know, you have all these landing craft coming on, and like, well, you know, they're hitting all these obstacles. We have to clear those to get them out there. So you had to find men that were willing to be able to handle the water and handle pulling large amounts of explosives, almost drowning, to clear them. And it's kind of evolved as we've gone closer and closer to land. We went from, you know, being out there as an underwater demolition team to being what we are today, which is sea, air, and land. And that's what SEAL stands for, is sea, air, and land. So if you really look back at the badge that the UDT wore, all they did was add the eagle to it, to add the component of, you know, having that air capability. And that's the trident, or the SEAL badge that we have today.
What do all these organizations do? Maybe that's kind of a naive question, but what do they all do?
Which organizations? Are you talking about special operations?
Yeah, well, you've got UDT SEAL Association, you've got Navy SEALs, Navy SEAL Foundation, NSW Kids.
It gets a little confusing. So let me go ahead and give a little bit of basics here. The UDT SEAL Association was actually founded in 1969 by some of America's very first SEALs. Guys got together and they said, you know what, hey, this is obviously going to be a very small, tight-knit group, and we need to take care of each other. So they formed this foundation. They formed this association. It was actually called a fraternal order, to go ahead and help make sure that we always got a chance to meet back up again every year and keep each other in touch. As that grew, it turned into the UDT SEAL Association. Now, out of the UDT SEAL Association came the Navy SEAL Foundation, and that really concentrates its efforts on providing care for the active duty. Fantastic organization. It's our sister organization. Fantastic one. I have nothing bad to say about that one. It's a wonderful organization, as is the Naval Special War Family Foundation and the NSW Kids. There's so much work that needs to be done. Each one of those focuses on that area. So one focuses more on family, one focuses more on the children, one focuses more on the active duty. The one my heart lies right now that I'm working with, and I hope the American people will help us, is the UDT SEAL Association. We focus on our veterans, and right now we're having a lot of problems, as everybody can see, with our veterans as they come back and they're returning, and we need to address those problems. We're trying to do it right now.
Mark Donald is our guest. His book is out. It's called Battle Ready: Memoir of a SEAL Warrior Medic. St. Martin's Press is the publisher. Tell me about battle scars and mental issues, Mark. You talked about that earlier a little bit. I want you to expand on that. How serious a problem is that?
Well, I think a lot of us carry that with us, and it isn't because of so much just seeing what we've seen. It's more along the lines of knowing that those experiences occurred to our brethren, our brothers. You know, I go out and I talk to a lot of the combat vets, and I reach out to them and try to talk them into seeking help, because we do need to talk about it. That's the first step. But it always comes back, whenever we start to sit down and we have a conversation, it always comes back to what they witnessed that their brethren, their brothers, their teammates went through, and actually the loss of them. You know, I say this, and it may sound bad, but I've never had a sleepless night over killing the enemy. Those were criminals. They were terrorists. They were thugs. They only wanted to hurt me. They wanted, more importantly, to hurt, you know, the people back here. They needed to be eliminated. But I have a very hard time dealing, and I always will with my life, when I look back and I look at all those that sacrificed so much. And then I talk about a man who gave his life just to give me the opportunity to live. You know, there's a lot there. That's tight, and that's something that we need to address, is to make sure that we work together and we talk together, and everyone can help in that.
Mark, you received the Silver Star and Navy Cross for extraordinary heroism while engaged against Al-Qaeda in southern Afghanistan. What are your memories of your time in southern Afghanistan? What do you most remember?
Well, I'd like to say what I most remember is the beauty. It is a beautiful area. It reminds me of my home in New Mexico in a lot of aspects, the air, the elevation. I think one of the things that I will always treasure is the sky at night. You could see every star in the universe, or at least it feels that way. It's so clear, it's so bright, it's so gorgeous. I wish everyone could experience that. Unfortunately, the experiences that are probably going to stay with me the most are those times where I saw people suffering. I saw the Afghanistan people suffering, and mostly the people that we, you know, my teammates, my brethren, when they suffered in battle, as well as that my experiences battles, those are going to weigh heavy on my mind, probably more so. But I'm going to try to always focus on the good. And when I close my eyes, the first thing I try to think about is all of that beautiful area out there.
What does Al-Qaeda want? What is their mission?
You know, I think if you're asking me my opinion is they just want power. You know, I don't think it's really so strongly based on religion as it is. I think there's people just want power. They want the way things to be the way they want it to be, and there's no changing their mind. So that really isn't based on religion. That's based on power. There's not a religion out there to probably, you know, I'm not an expert on Islam, but there's even Islam does not say that you are going to force everybody to go one way. You have to be tolerant. All religions should be tolerant. These people are intolerant. They're criminals. They're thugs. They're terrorists. They want power. That's what they want.
When we pull out totally, Mark, what's going to become of Afghanistan? Are they strong enough to hold their own out there?
Yeah, I think it's going to revert. Personally, I think it's going to revert back to probably what it was before. I don't know that, though. I'm not at those levels to understand that. I can tell you this, though. If it's going to hold together, it's going to take the Afghanistan people to want to have a national movement to hold it together. And it's not our, I feel it's not our job as Americans to be doing that for them. They need to want to do that. They need to take the steps in order to do that. We've helped them. We've trained them. We've assisted them in doing that. I think now it's time to go ahead and see if that's actually going to happen. And whatever it is, here's the important thing that people need to understand. Whatever happens, America is strong enough to react. All those listeners out there, we are strong enough to react to what the world gives us. We're strong enough to react to what the world gives us because we're good people. We're giving people. We're caring people. We're united people. We need to not worry about how things are going to happen out there because we can react to anything. We're survivors. We're the greatest nation on earth, and we need to remind ourselves that.
Mark, what are the Afghanistan people like? What do you have some opinions of those human beings?
You know, some of them are just like everybody else every day. You know, they're people that care, they're family members, they're people that just want to live a happy life. I think they're more along the lines of wanting to have a very simplistic, calm, and normal life. But then there's others that that look at things a lot differently than I view them. You know, I wouldn't be where I am today if my mother didn't raise me the way that she did. And personally, I find it very offensive on the way that they treat their women, the way that they look at their women. It's not really as, and I'm not talking all of them, but there is some, and unfortunately they are the ones in power to influence a lot of things. The way that they look and treat the females, it just drives me nuts, because I look at people as people, and I could not be anything that I am today if it didn't start with my mother. They would go ahead and would have ended her early, because she was a true American. She did know how to stand up. She did know how to look and do the hard, right decisions in life and instill it in all of us. So I'm kind of torn.
My guest is Mark Donald. His book is fascinating. It's called Battle Ready, Memoir of a SEAL Warrior Medic. My latest book is out. It's called The Difference You Make. It's in bookstores now in the self-improvement section. And we're back for one more segment with Mark Donald. So stay with us. It's the Pat Williams Weekend Hour. It's News Talk WDBO in Orlando, Florida.